Jim Kenny, welcome to Newsworks Tonight.
A pleasure to be here.
If you have 60 seconds to somebody on their front porch to make your pitch, why do you tell them to vote for you for mayor?
Well, I've been in public office as a city councilman at large for 23 years. And it was very fortuitous for me to have become an at-large councilman as opposed to a district council person, because I had an opportunity over more than two decades to go into every neighborhood in the city to understand, to try to understand the issues in every neighborhood in the city, to represent every person in the city. And I didn't come out of one particular locale. And even though it's difficult to run at large because you're running as a mayor, so I've almost had my practice runs six separate times over the last 23 years, I have really good understanding of the beat of the city and the pulse of the city. And I think knowing additionally the way government works and or doesn't work, and the interaction between the mayor and council and the business community and labor and the various minority communities throughout our city, racial, ethnic, or sexual minorities, I mean, I think I build a coalition of folks to move forward.
Do you see a signature issue for your campaign?
I think without a doubt, poverty is the number one issue that's facing the city, and it drives every other negative aspect of city life. People who don't have a job because they don't have an education wind up doing things they shouldn't do in order to survive. We wind up having to take care of that by arresting them, by prosecuting them, by putting them in jail. And then we have families that face dysfunction, children who then enter into generational dysfunction. And all that costs money. And if we can begin to turn the tide on that, that those folks who are experience a dysfunction wind up becoming contributors to society.
Give me one good idea for fighting poverty.
I think that a goal would be that every 3- and 4-year-old in the school district of Philadelphia have access to quality pre-K within the next 5 years. And generally that has been discussed as a result of Harrisburg providing dollars for it. And I will go as mayor to Harrisburg a couple times every year to ask for money. But Governor Wolf has a $2 billion hole. The legislature is the legislature. And I think that I'm not waiting for Superman to fly in from Harrisburg to fix this. We have to address our problems with schools as best we can ourselves.
I almost fell out of my chair the other day in your office when I heard you say, I don't have the answer for public schools. I'd found an honest politician. But are you going to need one?
I don't have all the answers. I don't have there's no silver bullet. There's all levels of good things. I'll tell you one thing about the city schools that really frustrate me is we have so many good schools that perform, kids that perform under difficult circumstances, teachers that are dedicated, principals that are cutting edge. We don't promote it. We don't promote it to our own citizens. Our own citizens believe the schools are dysfunctional. Yeah, are there dysfunctional schools? Absolutely. But there are good performing schools and high performing schools and young kids in neighborhoods that are struggling that have a good school and are doing well. We need to replicate what they're doing and make sure that every school has that aspect.
You want to expand early childhood education.
Kids are not reading at fourth grade level. By the time they're in fourth grade, you begin to set off the dysfunction of kids who then don't behave in school because they can't read and they're embarrassed. Kids who bail out of school by ninth grade because they can't read and they're embarrassed. Kids who then are now on the corner doing things they shouldn't be doing and getting in trouble and winding up, God forbid, killed or killing someone. It is a cycle that can be stopped if a kid can read in fourth grade.
And to confront you with the obvious, the district has a big deficit now. Early childhood will cost more. You said, you know, as the state, as you know, is strapped.
The city of Philadelphia, over the time that I've been in the city of Philadelphia, has invested in many, many things. They've invested in sports complexes and all kinds of stuff that are productive things that I voted for. We need to put some city money where our mouth is. And if we're going to go to foundations, to some of our major institutions, to some of our major corporations in the city, we have to show that we're committed to this particular goal. And if we do that, I think we, with a mayor who can go around and begin to solicit that kind of help, over time we can begin to build up and pay for that cost.
You had a long career in city council, many things I know you're proud of. Last year, a huge issue on whether the city would sell the Philadelphia Gas Works. The mayor had a proposal. You said recently that maybe there should have been a public hearing, but it's water under the bridge. Now, you as a councilman could have introduced that bill. You could have then introduced a resolution which would have required members to vote on whether or not to have a hearing.
Well, look, I mean, I could not force the hearing. I could bombast about the lack of a hearing. I had done some discussions with council members prior to thinking about doing a resolution or introducing a bill, and the support was not there to have a hearing.
Right, but you could have put them in a position of voting yay or nay.
I didn't think it was appropriate considering the fact that the administration hadn't done a lot of the due diligence necessary to get council members in a place where they could be. Look, you have the sale of the largest municipal asset in the history of the city, $1.866 billion. I view the city of Philadelphia as a corporation. It's a municipal corporation with a CEO who's the mayor and with a board of directors who's council. There's no corporation in America that would sell an $1.86 billion asset without informing its board what they were doing. And if you want council members to make a heavy lift and to do something really substantial, you need to make sure they buy into the process and buy into the information, and then you move forward as a municipal company and sell that asset.
Isn't that what a hearing is for?
No, the hearing. You need to do all that due diligence before the hearing. You need to have look.
You mean informed counsel before?
Yeah, let's go back to the Rendell administration. Now, could you imagine Ed Rendell selling the gasworks without telling John Street what he was doing? That simply wouldn't have happened, and there's no reason for it to happen. There's no reason for the situation where a mayor would not inform a council. And I would never do this. If I'm mayor, the council president is my partner. That'll probably be Darrell Clark. He will be my partner in big things we need to do. And the other thing is you need to be able to develop a relationship with each and every single council person, a personal relationship and a governmental relationship and a political relationship that when you need them, you can call on them. Now, I've heard both sides of whether or not whether the gas works should be sold. 68-70% of the citizens honestly didn't think it should be sold. People in the Chamber of Commerce and people in the energy industries and things saw opportunities down the road for its sale. But, I mean, I've had Jaddy Montgomery Scott read an analysis that said the tax-free municipal debt that the gas works in its current form could get is not available to UIL.
As you know, Mayor Nutter can present a list of occasions in which he said he offered council participation and more information. Let's say for the moment that you're right, that he did a poor job of communicating with council and working that relationship. What it sounds like you're saying is because council felt disrespected and inadequately informed, it should pass on an opportunity to get hundreds of millions of dollars for taxpayers.
I think we should have had a hearing. No. I did not stand up on my desk and scream and yell at Darrell Clark.
Or introduce the bill. You could have done that.
But I knew it wasn't going anywhere, and I wasn't in a position at that point. I didn't think it was going to be successful. So, I mean, if this is not a shot at Darrell Clark. I think he's done a great job. If I were council president, we would have had a hearing. And that's all I can tell you. It's the only thing I was in a position to do at the time.
Okay. I don't want to beat it to death, but if you introduce the bill – and then you introduce a resolution which would cause at least members would have to vote yay or nay on whether or not to have a hearing.
That's not always the most productive way to go.
Okay.
I think in the long run, if I had done that and embarrassed council members and ran for office and got elected, I'd have to go back and fix that, which would take some more work.
Okay. You mentioned the other day that you voted for campaign finance limits back
in.
And my recollection is that you didn't just vote for it. You were an early advocate of campaign finance reform on council.
Sometimes things have to be done because it's the era in which they're done. The end of that last administration, there were things that were hanging out there that were very difficult and problematic and disconcerting. And sometimes legislation that responds to those things is extreme. Not extreme. It's all-encompassing. And I think that these bills that Michael Nutter championed and that I supported did that. And what it does is it takes elected officials and people in politics time to get used to it. As I told you, my first election in that campaign finance era was horrible because we had to respond to requests and all this stuff, and we weren't used to it. We got used to it. You got used to the campaign finance limits. You got used to the reporting. You got used to it. And I think ratcheting down the amount of money spent on mayoral elections and other municipal elections is a very, very good thing.
Right. You were an early supporter of campaign finance reform, and of course the effort was to sort of limit the ability of special interests to put a lot of money into races.
Right.
There's the possibility in this mayoral election that some special interest unions and wealthy individuals could mount an independent expenditure effort to support a candidate. One of them might be you. How would you feel about that?
I wouldn't know anything about it, and I'm not supposed to know anything about it, and I wouldn't want to know anything about it.
Would you welcome it?
I can't welcome it because that would be giving some indication that I am encouraging it. I mean, look, the Supreme Court of the United States did what they did. It's beyond the bounds of my ability to deal with anything. And if individuals expressing their First Amendment rights want to go do something for somebody or against me or for me or for another candidate, that's what the Supreme Court said they can do. And I don't want to know about it. Hopefully I'll know about it when I first see the TV commercial for the first time.
Are we better off if we don't have that kind of an
– Sure. Yeah. Sure we're better off. But, okay. but I will tell you, I don't really think it's fair for the Koch brothers to have that kind of access to forming – the formation of policy in our country and not have working people have the same right.
This is a new thing for you. What do you do over the next 2-3 weeks?
Oh, you raise money. I mean, talk about raising money. And what you do is you raise it in smaller amounts. So you have to make a lot more phone calls than you used to do when I first came into this profession in the late 70s. And I remember, people could write checks for $100,000 to a candidate in a state race or even a local race for anything. And I think it's a good thing it's changed. And it's more work intensive, and that's okay. And all we're really doing is raising lots of money to give to TV networks. I mean, let's be honest with you. I mean, the bulk of what we raise, we're giving to some, one of the big three or four TV networks.
Paying for TV ads.
Paying for TV ads. I mean, that's the big thing you're spending money on. And, I mean, they're happy. I don't know if your contributors or the candidates are all that happy, but it's part and parcel of the process, and I don't know any other process to go through. Other than public financing, and that's a whole – we could do a whole 2 hours on that debate.
Right, and that's not going to happen either.
No. I mean, it could. I mean, there's some really positive things that could come out of that. I mean, but you have to make the argument to someone that it's better to publicly finance campaigns as opposed to the rec center, which is like a hard argument to make.
Jim Kenney, we'll be speaking again. Thanks so much.
Great.
For coming on the show.
My pleasure.